Hi everyone, this is Michelle. This is Practical Applications, call number 5. It's January 15th, 2019, and we are going to begin as we always do now in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place to lie down. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, then you can do a seated meditation. If you're driving, please pull over. If you're able to, lie down. Make sure there's space around you, so don't be bumping into papers. There's some papers on the floor in front of me. I wouldn't want to be there. So no papers, no furniture, no walls. The practice is a metaphor. Can you give yourself space here? And when we do that, there's a ripple effect out into our lives, giving ourselves more space for our businesses, for the work that we do, for our families, for our daily routine, spaciousness. Have a blanket or a pillow handy so that you can support the head. And you want that support to be beneath the head and neck, but not beneath the shoulders. This will allow you to have a deeper level of Shavasana more quickly. Lie on your back and bend the knees for a moment. Take the hands and move the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. Make space through the low back. Then extend one leg out and then the other. Let the baby toes fall to the earth. The rest of the toes fall as well, so that the legs are a comfortable distance apart and they are relaxed and at ease. Bend the elbows and place the fingertips pointing toward the ceiling for a minute. Dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Now notice as you do so, I haven't taught this before, that sometimes that makes a little tiny space between the head support and the shoulders. So you might need to adjust the head support once again so that head support touches the shoulders. Even a small gap will mean a less deep Shavasana. So using your time wisely, adjust the head support once again. Dig the elbows in. Sometimes you might need to go back and forth a little. And then release the arms into a low V, palms up position. So the arms are straight, about maybe a foot or so away from the body, about 30 degrees away from the body. And you can adjust this, adjust the arms and the legs so that they are equidistant, so that they're comfortable, and that they're equidistant from the center line. So both legs equidistant from the center line. The arms equidistant from the center line. So find evenness and balance, a balance that translates out into the rest of our lives. Is the head straight? We say to somebody, is your head on straight? This is something that we can do. So you can adjust the head by taking the four fingers behind the back of the skull. The hands are toward the thumbs are toward the chin, and then just lengthen through the back of the neck, just the way you lengthened through the flesh of the buttocks. And yoga is about extension and spaciousness, making space. So extend out through the back of the neck so that the chin is lower than the forehead. Chin lower than the forehead. When the forehead is down and chin is up, the mind is busy. So the chin level with or lower than the forehead. Softly close the eyes if you haven't already. Just let go. Let everything go. Make any last adjustments you need to be comfortable. Then take comfort and find stillness here. The mind is busy, and when we make the effort to still the body, after a few minutes, it might take longer, it might take shorter, but the mind starts to become quiet. We have a place then of a mind that can be an ally instead of a foe for us, that can actually serve and support us, because it's not so busy with all these thoughts that aren't even our own, that run through us, that has nothing to do often with who we are. They're like clouds passing through the sky. When we let the body become still, even for a little while, slowly the mind starts to settle. It's like the mind is like when we throw a rock into a pond and there's a ripple effect outward. And if we just wait in stillness, the lake returns to that quiet surface. And then it becomes clear. So a lake that's all churned up by rocks being thrown in, that's like our mind state usually, can't even see anything. When we stop in Shavasana for a while, let the rocks, the thoughts settle, fade away, we can actually see to the bottom of the pool or the lake. We see things that weren't visible before when we just pause and breathe. Let the arms be heavy, let the legs be heavy, the chest is light. Feel the release of the body to the pull of gravity. And as you do so, feel that you're supported by whatever you have beneath you, the floor, blankets, carpet, pillow. And in that tangible feeling of the support beneath you on the floor, know that you are supported. It's a tangible feeling that translates when we practice in this way. I encourage you to start every day here, Shavasana. Final relaxation pose, ease. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Let the ears recede as well, so just like last week when my voice was coming from far away, hear the sounds as though my voice were coming from far away, no effort to pull the sound in. Just let the sound drop in like rain. Ears and eyes meeting at a point toward the back brain, pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. Relax the tiny muscles of the face, cheeks, the jaw. Let the tongue rest gently in the bottom of the mouth. We leak so much energy through the tongue glued to the roof of the mouth. Unconscious, we don't know it's happening. Let the tongue rest. Teeth are slightly parted. Lips touching, not touching, just barely touching. Watch the breath. Notice the breath yet today in the fullness of life. Watch here and now. This breath is different from the last one, each breath unique. Can you pay attention? Watch the breath. Balanced and growing business requires non-judgment. I see it, I don't judge, I make a choice. Can you watch the breath without judgment? Know that it's perfect just as it is, right here and now, and that right here and now, truly, all is well. Watch the breath. One pointed attention. Take this time for yourself. This is for you. The practice of Shavasana allows us to find that place of non-judgment, also allows us to separate out thought and action. We don't need to react to what others say, to what's happening around, to what we think is happening in our business and our lives. We separate out thought and action. Know that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana. Let it begin just with a thought that soon you will move. Nothing else changes. Just a thought. No reaction, just thought. Then allow the breath to deepen. Come out through the koshas, we call them in yoga. It's different layers of body and being, mind, breath, gross body. Start to move in any way that feels good to you, moving to the tactile body now. Wiggle the fingers, toes, move in whatever way feels good to you. And then slowly bend the knees. Take your time. Roll to the right side. How we come out is important. What do we do in those in-between spaces? What that feels like an in-between space. When you open your eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the floor. Keeping the gaze toward the floor, use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. Always, whenever you can, video on, because it brings a different level of presence. There's no such thing as multitasking, as we learn from those who study this intently with control groups and so on. We don't multitask. We switch from one, rapidly switch from one task to another, and we're slower. When we can focus fully on one task, and we train that here as we come into this circle, then we'll be fully present when we're in a conversation, in a strategy session, or when we're on stage, or when we're networking. So we train it with everything that we do. And great to see you, Caroline. Karen, on my screen, oh, you were just like this bright white light. It's beautiful for a moment. It's so nice. And you're beautiful too, right? Teresa, great to see you. And so as we're coming back into the circle, Grace, Yvonne, Mary Kay, you're popping up in order on my screen. It's so interesting. That's never happened before. It's like all in line. Let's hear from one or two of you. Always training the focus on what's beautiful. What did I love here? Because it becomes a practiced habit. Whatever was distracting, there was something that I loved here. What did you love? What stays with you from this practice? What did you notice? Karen, thank you.
This is the fourth Shavasana that we've done with you. And today, it was more story-like than it's ever been.
Hmm.
And I think that's because I'm looking more for the stories in every interaction.
Love it. What we focus on expands. I see stories. I'm looking for stories everywhere. Now I've found there's one here. And absolutely, there's a story that I'm telling you in Shavasana, and a progressive movement into rest and relaxation and ease and focused mind. There's a progression, a story that I tell you about how we come out, and I'm seeding different things about the benefits of this practice. And so yes, there's a storyline. There's a storyline to what we're doing in all of practical applications. So love that. What we focus on expands, and we can gain, when we can gain control of the story here, I'm giving you an empowering story about ease and rest and relaxation and centeredness and self-care and focus. There's a whole bunch of components to that story, and you can take that up and run with it in any way you want, or lie down with it. As maybe that's a better way to put it, right? I love what the meditators say. And sometimes we say, don't just stand there, do something. Don't just sit there, do something. And in meditative disciplines, we say, well, don't just do something, sit there. When we sit there, deep wisdom arises, new thoughts arise. As I was practicing myself this morning, you know, all kinds of new ideas came for what I wanted to teach you even just this morning. So it's a shortcut to so many things. And I'm telling you another story, bouncing off of your story about Shavasana. So we live in a world of stories. We know that from Anatomy of an Empowering Story, first part, right? Thank you, Karen. Beautiful. What else did you notice? What stayed with you here? What was beautiful here for you this morning or this evening or whatever time it is for you right now? Who would like to share? And if you don't know what it was, thank you, Grace. It's great to just like raise your hand and not know what's going to come out of your mouth. I've done that for whole talks. One of them was an hour-long talk. I wasn't sure how I was going to enter until the words started coming out of my mouth. Deep trust that gets engendered here too. And just like, I'm going to raise my hand. So thank you, Grace. Oh, you're muted.
I learned something. My contrarianism was reaffirmed in that when you asked us, when you said that just the thought that we'll be coming out of Shavasana, I was struggling to move into it. And then the minute you said we're going to be moving out of it, it was my whole being said, no, I want to stay here. So my contrarianism showed in force.
Love that, Grace. And we learn so many things from this practice. We could spend the whole day on it. We won't. We're going to move on because there's so much I want to share with you today. But it teaches a profound letting go as well. It teaches, you know, what is it that I want? I really want to stay here to honor that. And then also, now's the time to move into the next, because I've trusted this whole process. If you're here, there's a level of trust that there's something here for you, right? And so I'm trusting that now is time to move into the next phase. So both honoring what I want and know what I want, and then deep letting go so that I can actually move in with all of me into that next, in this case, transitional phase. All these are foundational business skills, learning from lying down and breathing. Love it. Thank you, Grace. Anything else burning to be said? Yes, Marie, go ahead. That came up quickly.
Yeah, about as quickly as my choice to go from, I'm going to do this sitting up, to hearing you say, create some space. And I was like, okay, I better do that. So I had to move a bunch of papers out of my floor so I could lie down. But in the end, it was exactly what I needed. So thank you.
Oh, knowing how to correct and continue, course correct. I'm on a path. I get some input from somebody who is in a position of mentorship. That's me here. I'm facilitating, right? There's somebody I trust who maybe is a little further down the road on that particular practice, or maybe even that particular day, right? So I've let myself be trained by that person or that book or that seminar, and that I can course correct and adjust. Foundational. Sometimes in business, we keep going and going and going and going. It's obviously not a direction that's working. So how can I course correct? So again, the number of things that are happening in Shavasana here, more than I can name. And one thing too about story that I want, so thank you, Marie, beautiful, about story that I want to mention. Sometimes I leave more silence. This time I was more directed and giving you more of the details of why and what it is that we're doing when we're doing this. Sometimes that moves in the opposite direction of you being able to go deeply into that practice. That's why I encourage you to do this yourself in silence each day. Take 5 minutes at the beginning of your day, watch your life and your business change, right? But we go in different ways, sometimes with more silence, like last week. It was unintentional, right? Most of you couldn't hear me very well. This time, more explicit training. And then what is it to embrace it all? That now I'm picking up a piece of training of how it goes. Now I'm going deeper in. Today my mind was busier. Today it was more relaxed. I thought I was sitting up. Now I'm lying down. All these are foundational business practices and foundational for the purpose of this series, practical applications, getting results with your words. When I can find that center place and I have the words sourced from that deeper place inside me, I'm going to have better work than the best copywriter on the planet could write for me, but I also will be able to work with the best copywriter on the planet and be able to give them better directions, better sources for what it is that I want and what it is that I do. So I'm not dissing copywriters by any means, not at all. But I'll be able to find the words that are so much deeper. And I think I've mentioned it here before. I used to teach a writing circle Wednesday mornings for years. And I had somebody, I remember it was a common experience, but how she expressed it that one day was amazing. She walked in. It was her first day. Others had been there for a couple of classes. And she was so, this woman was so frightened. She said, "Is everyone here a professional writer? Like, am I the only one? I don't know." And people started putting their hands up. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I haven't written since high school. No, I don't know anything about words. But sourcing from these same places that I'm talking about here. And sometimes they're going to seem deceptively simple. Sometimes it's going to feel like, well, you know, I already know that. One of the things I learned at Peak Potential is 4 most dangerous words in the English language. I already know that. I mean, some part of me is shutting down. Some part of me is not seeing it. And here's the other litmus test. It's like, am I actually, if I already know it, I'm living it, I'm breathing it, and it's getting results for me. So how can I listen at a deeper and deeper level and squeeze, I want you all to squeeze all the juice out of what we're doing here. Sometimes it's going to be deceptively simple pieces, but when you put them together, there's some amazing, amazing work that can put you so far ahead in the words that you choose and how you interact when you're networking and how, what you do from stage and what you write online. We'll get to some of those pieces today and next time. I just want to congratulate you for being here. And thank you for your amazing contributions and your amazing questions this time. Thank you so much. Thank you. Great questions from Marie, Erin, Karen, Sheila. Awesome. So we'll get to those today. Remember to post questions for next time too. It'll be our last call together in this series next week. So anything else burning to be said? I've got some announcements I want to review. I want to tell you what we're going to do today. And next week, there's going to be quite a bit of training today, and I'll address your questions. We're going to get to some material that is absolutely key, is foundational, and is going to, you're going to see how it links with what we did before, but it's going to put together a lot of the puzzle pieces today. So some really key training today. So anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward? Just making another space. Okay, perfect. So, announcements. Our last call in this series is next week. Please post your questions. And one of the things I want to mention is what I'd love for you to post. You can post any question whatsoever. Where do you want to use your words? Where are you stuck? What business issues are you running into? Because you can bet that it happens. It has some word component about it. So you can. There are no questions that are off limits. Sometimes it might be something where you're stuck over there at home, and that, as you break open that piece of communication, it's going to break open everything in your business and your world. And I want to turn to right, Marie, right, Yvonne, the people who've been around on the campus for a while, right? So those questions welcome as well. And I want to make a particular call to a certain kind of question as well. All questions welcome. And for next week, if you will post some specific examples for me. Where are you running into issues in a strategy session or sales conversation, right? Where are you running? And give me a link to some online copy that you're stuck with or you want to take to the next level. Or even one that it might even be something you want to emulate, something you like about it and you don't know why. So give me some examples and we'll dive as deep as you choose, depending on the examples that I have in front of me. All right. So what online copy do you have that you would like my eye on next week, our last chance in this series? So post those questions, especially, and then all questions welcome. If everyone posted a question and we ran out of time, I would just make sure that I got those questions answered to the best of my ability. So if you all posted questions, I'd be in my happy place. I'd be going, how do we answer all those in one call? But I'll be in my happy place. I'll make sure we get to them, right? Last call next week. And then on Thursday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, I have a new call. My team just got this up, the page for it yesterday. Hopefully we're going to take a look at that a little later in the call to talk to you about how do you set things up online? What are the components you should even put in this case, an opt-in page, right? Which is not that different from a sales page, which is not that different from other things that you can put up online, right? So, you have to know a little bit about the particular genre, but this will give you a huge head start. So Nicole's called Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold, Three Surprising Sources for Your Next Great Achievement. And so it's at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Translate to your own time zone next Thursday. Translate, please, Sergio, I know for you that's Friday, right? So you translate to your own time zones. I'm speaking in Mountain Time here. And you have to opt in. It will be a different line than this. So Tuesday we will be here. Thursday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, we'll be on a different Zoom link. And to register, the opt-in is at michellegunderson.com/innergold. And it is case sensitive, small letters, inner gold, right? So I'd love to see you there. We'll be able to take this conversation further. And I'll do a piece in and around transmutation here, but we'll take a much deeper dive on that Thursday call. So I'd love to see you all there. So last time we started talking about sales and offers, we're going to continue this discussion today, and then we're going to start the discussion about marketing and online, and then we'll continue. Oh, yes. For someone, can someone actually take the time to post that, to just type that in? Yvonne, will you do that? It's michellegunderson.com/innergold. All right. So Yvonne, if you can write that, and if it's, that will keep me from having to type. I'm not very good at multitasking. Thanks, Yvonne. Case sensitive. So. Key content today that's going to tie together a lot of what we've done before and take it to a new place as well. So my aims for today for you, responding to the questions. Again, thank you, Marie, Aaron, Karen, Sheila. I can answer Aaron's question right away. So Aaron asked, hey, Michelle, I would love to be able to listen to these. Let me see. Is it possible to receive a recording? I have a student at the time, Teresa. Yes. So register for it and we will send out the recording. So if you can't make it at that time, I encourage you to be there live, because what can happen with those recordings is life gets in the way. But if you have a bona fide conflict, of course, right? I will open it up briefly to questions there. So if you had some remaining questions, man, come live. That can only be accessed live. And it's usually just a moment. And then I keep going with the training if nobody raises their hand right away. So it's one last chance to ask some questions. So I can answer Aaron. So thank you, Teresa. Aaron, I can answer your question right away. Aaron, hopefully you're listening. I know you're listening in the recording. Don't see you here live. So Aaron was saying, I really want to listen to all these recordings in the series, but I can only access them like right there with the video. So can we have something that we can download? So I asked Amy to do this. She's working on it this week. She's on a trip, but she's working on it anyway for you. She's working some long, long days right now. She said she's going to try to get that for you by the end of the week, so that there will be audios, not video, but audio that you can download if you want to just listen to this. And I encourage you to do that. Listen to it more than once. You will hear more things. If you went back to the first call, you'll hear it with completely different ears than you had when we were first there. All right. So aims for today, answering those questions. How to find out what your offer is. Thanks, Yvonne. How to find out what your offer is. And last time we talked a little bit about your offer isn't, you know, there's three calls and I'll meet with you 10 times a week and there's a book. What's the transformation? So I'll give you multiple ways to find that, what that offer is. Who is your ideal client? So I think I postponed Karen's question. I gave little bits of it. It's like, I really want to find the words for that'll track my ideal client. Well, we're going to do a deeper dive in that today. What's the gap? Thank you, Marie, for that question. And why does it matter? And so these are my aims. By the end of the call, you'll know these things and you'll know how to find your way there, right? You'll have some real strategies to do this. And then how to talk to your potential clients. So how to find what your offer is, who's your ideal client, what's the gap and why does it matter, and how to talk to your potential clients about it in the strategy sessions and online. How do I talk about that transformation? How do I talk about that gap? So I've got some ambitious goals for today. Whatever we don't do, we'll pick up next time. But I have some very specific content for next time too, because I want to talk to you specifically about how do you have that strategy session conversation? What are the key components that need to go in it? Right. And then we'll be reviewing those pages online that you send to me. So some key content for next time as well. But whatever we don't get done today, no worries. We'll have time. I'll make sure that we get to all these pieces. And again, you'll see how it connects with and expands on what we've done before. And some of you might have this question if you're tracking with me. You might go, Michelle, why didn't we start here? Everybody always starts here. Why didn't we start here? Did anybody have that question yet? If you didn't, you might, you know, like, well, don't we need to start with what the transformation is and who my ideal client is? Michelle, you know, if I knew that, I could be so far ahead. Why don't we start there on day one? here's the, yes, Marie, okay, now you're hearing it, right? Thank you. There's a reason it appears here, because I want you talking to people. I want you on the court. That's my wish for you. That's my desire for you. I want you going and go out, make those mistakes. And like, if I gave you all the components, then you go make that, you know, cookie cutter elevator pitch that has all the perfect words, you're going to go out there and sound like everybody else. If you know what I'm talking about here, because this is a key point. If you got this, you'll understand why I'm doing this now. If you got what I just said about the cookie cutter elevator pitch, raise your hand. Going to sound like everybody else. Yes, exactly. You all heard it. Thank you. That's why I put this here. I want you to go out there, talk to people, make connections, make mistakes, listen first. If we do this part without all the foundations that we have, we make the mistakes that everybody's making out there and you end up sounding like everybody else. Now we're ready. And we already are a long ways along the way to finding that anyway. With all of the key, all of the clues that I've given you. If you've been out there networking in all the ways that I've suggested, you're going to be talking to people and listening to people and talking to some of your ideal clients and hearing what matters to them and so on. You'll be so far ahead of just these, you know, fill in the blanks, cookie cutter. Here's my elevator pitch. I'm not dissing that work. That can be good too. And again, if that's your question next time, Michelle, I want that elevator pitch. Give it to me. I'll give you a formula, right? It's not hard to do, but it's not where things actually move, and sometimes we want it to fall back on. I understand that. So ask that question if you have it. I can give it to you for next time. So that's the aims for the call. That's why we started where we did. And for next week, our last class, I think I told you about what we're going to do. Yes, the kinds of questions that I'm looking for. And also, don't let that stop you from asking any question. You can ask more than one question. Right? So don't be afraid to post your question thinking, what if I come up with a better question later in the week? Post that too. Right? All questions welcome. And let me see, I already talked to you about the process. I've got my notes here. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Process for holding strategy sessions. How do you have that conversation next time? Also next time, some other content that I want to give you that we haven't got to yet. What words do you use to find a team behind you that truly works for you? So you don't have to do it all alone. And this is going to help you. If you're at the starting point, sometimes you go, team, I don't have to, I'm a one-person show, right? I don't even know what that is, right? Well, trust me, please, it matters. No company is built as a single man or woman company. We can build to a certain extent, but if you don't have somebody behind you, for instance, maybe folding your clothes for you or doing the laundry, there's not enough time in the day to build a company. You need to have people on your team. It is required for growing a business. And if that makes you go, oh, how do I do that? But I don't have the resources to do that and so on. Well, then how will you find people who will do that for free at the beginning, or who do that in exchange? Or for some of you, you already have a team, but how's it working for you? Are they always hearing your words? Are they always doing what you, Amy is going away and doing her best to do that for you. Why is she doing that? And on short notice, I think I sent it to her late last night, right before she leaves for a trip. If anything, I've got to get my team to back off. They work so hard. I'm like, please go take care of yourself. Please take a break. No, don't do that tonight. Like, what is it to have a team that works like that for you? What, how do you find the words to say it? So that's what part of what we're going to do next time. And let me see. I want to tell you, so that's where we're going to go today. That's where we're going next time. And this is a bit of a, what one of my teachers used to call a leg up yoga move, you know? So, and she had nothing to do with yoga, but you know, there's those basic yoga moves. And then there's the ones where you hold your leg up and there's fancy stuff, right? So kind of year two notice. So I want to give you one of those right now. And if it doesn't make any sense to you, this next piece that I'm just going to say right here, let it go. Because some of you are going to hear this and you're going to go, oh, I got it. Even before I talk about the gap, briefly, the gap is something between, you know, where you are and where you want to go. And it's that gap that pulls people along, that has them take action, that has them dive in. And it's a key part of story structure. Do you know that what I just presented to you, it works in teaching too? I'm not talking a lot about how you teach and train, but everything we've learned has to do with words for your teaching and training too, and how you work with your clients, the clients that you have now. Because I just gave you a gap. Did you know that? Did anybody hear that? That's the leg up. Yvonne's nodding. Yeah. Some of you are nodding. Sergio's are nodding. We do it in teaching too, because what is it? I gave you a gap to inspire an action. And what's the action? What's one of the actions that I'm, actually, I guess I'm inspiring a couple of actions. Usually you just want to inspire one action. What's the action that I'm trying to, doing my best, I succeeded or I failed. But what's the action that I'm trying to engender here in you by the positioning of a gap for you? And if you're not hearing my words right now, don't worry. They'll make more sense when we get to that training about the gap a little later in the call. Then you'll re-listen to it and you'll hear it. What actions was I trying to, doing my best to engender in you? There were a few of them. Marie, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to guess and just say to focus on what you're saying.
yeah, that's one thing. I want you to focus, right, for sure. What else? Come to next week's call. Yeah, go ahead, Sergio, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Gap between where you are now and where you want to be, where you've got to change.
Thank you. I'm kind of guessing that these are some components that some of you want. You put it in your surveys at the beginning, so you put it, it's in your questions. And I just also know from working with so many people. And so here's where you are now. Who is my ideal? Like Karen's question, remember, I referred back to that. She had asked that question. I said, well, hang on, I'll give you some components of it, but there's more to it. How do I even find the words for that ideal client? Well, stay tuned and please pay attention today because I'm going to give you some components of it. And then also please come back next week because I'm going to teach you how you're even going to have that conversation with somebody. So there's a gap between where you are, even if you're already having those conversations, you can refine them. You can make them better. There's going to be some keys there. I want you to come back. Then I can help you. It's my sneaky way to get you to show up so I can help you. All right. And it's not sneaky. It's heartfelt, right? And it's showing you the gap. We're here. Here's where we want to go. There's a way there. So please, in this case, come to the call. Or please come to Quantum Leaps, the call about Quantum Leaps, which is transmuting inner dirt to inner gold. It's about how do we take a leap, right? There's an inner clue. I didn't even talk about it like that. But it's a call that is about taking quantum leaps in your business and your life. So I'm hoping to encourage you to come to that. I've been talking to you about transmutation. We're going to do a little bit about that, but we'll do more on that Thursday call. So I've given you lots of actions to take. Usually you just want to create one gap and one action, right? But I had a whole bunch of things to share with you, and it's a different situation. I'm teaching rather than inspiring a sale, for instance, or a singular next action of, you know, please download anatomy or something like that, all right? If you didn't hear that piece, just let it go. That was a leg up yoga move piece. I do want to hear from one of you who heard something from any piece that I just said, because there's a lot of training in that, even when I'm telling you what's coming up. Mary Kay, go ahead.
Create one gap and one action.
Thank you.
That's what I'm going to do this afternoon, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, Caroline, go ahead.
Well, what I really heard in sort of the whole piece is curiosity is the word that came to mind.
Oh, I love that.
Is that you keep making me more curious with each of the things that you do. So yes, it makes me want to come back and learn more.
Yes, good. Yes, and curiosity, wondering what that, you know, all these are components of story, right? That's suspense, like wondering what the next step is, like story structure. This is not a series about story, it's a series about words. But there's words and story fit together. Sometimes I teach a little bit, tiny pieces about story, but they fit together very strongly. And when we understand how story structure works, then we can use our words that much more effective way. Again, there's not the scope to talk about that here. And what am I doing right now? I'm creating another gap. It's not the scope. I can't teach you everything that I know in 6 weeks. I just can't. I would do my best, right? To teach you the most important things right here, right now that you can use. But there's, you know, we've spent all this time on the words. What about the stories? And you just pointed to one of those elements, Caroline. It's like curiosity, suspense. What makes people want to go to the next page, turn the page in a book, or keep watching in a movie? Right. And we use all of those. And one of the, I think the, best online marketers on the planet right now. And I got a chance to have dinner with him. I've told you about him. I just think the world of him. He's so heart-centered, and his record was making, you know, $1 million in 45 minutes. What kind of mind does it take to be able to do that? And then he gives back to the world in huge ways. And as we're talking, he's like, it's all about story. When we were over dinner, he said, all of the best online marketers, he says, I think of them all as, you know, what did he call it? Wannabe filmmakers. Those are his words, right? They're all about, you know, creating the story in everything that they do. So, and I'll give you some of the components of it. So, and I'm creating another gap, right? I'll give you some of the components of that the best that I can today. All right. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? What I just gave you is gold. If you didn't hear it, it's okay. That was a leg up yoga move. Go back and listen to this because I'm moving pretty quickly here. All right. So I just want to remind you, Grace, go ahead. Was that an almost?
It was an almost. I think what you're teaching us is, you know, we need to be identifying gaps for our own potential clients, right? I mean, this is part of that the sales and the marketing is like, what are the gaps for them? Just giving them enough without giving them too much to create that curiosity and suspense.
Just yes.
So they want more.
Beautiful. Yes. And how do we do this? I'm starting to teach about the gap before I've even got to the segment on the gap. We just went a little deeper than I expected to here because you're hearing it. And so let's take it to that next level. I wasn't even sure I was going to put it in here, but I thought, oh, I see you. I hear you. I know you're ready to hear this. Some of you will hear this deeply. Some of you, it'll be a little bit, but that's okay. I put it in brackets so you don't have to listen to this part to get the rest of it. And the gap, it's a key component of story, key component of what we need to do at all levels of our company in order to have people take the next step. And that's how we help them. That's how we serve them, right? Yeah, Marie, go ahead.
I'm actually finding that sometimes I get lost in the details of the story. So, for example, you mentioned this person who makes $1 million with something that he does like in seconds. And it's like, so I'm stuck there and I didn't even hear the rest. So it's kind of like the gap is so big now I'm lost.
Yeah, no problem. So that's why we've got recordings of the calls and transcriptions. Go back because there's going to be more there than you know. And also, that's why we train in Shavasana. Because notice that's what we're doing in Shavasana. The mind will get lost with this thought. How quickly can I bring it back? And that's a skill for learning too, right? Because if I get lost in that thought, I'm just going to take off my sweater. Don't need this. If I get lost in that thought and I can't hear what comes up next, then I might have missed a whole chunk. So in Shavasana, I'm training always. It's why all these pieces fit synergistically together. There's that thought over there, oh, let me pull back. There's that, not pull back, but come back to center. There's a thought, oh, let me come back to center. And then also letting go. It's like, well, that's okay. I missed that chunk, but it's okay. I'll pick up where we are. And this is not my particular area, but I remember my PhD supervisor talking about this. He'd done a little bit of work studying attention spans. And people these days have the... In general, as a culture, we have the attention span of a gnat or something like that, you know, a little tiny, you know, like seconds, and everything's so fast. And most of the time when you're talking, people actually aren't listening. I guess most of the time, I don't remember the exact stats. He told me that about 20 years ago. I don't remember all the details. Most of the time, people aren't listening. So you'll hear that as I train, and sometimes it might even drive you crazy, but I'll repeat things and I'll come back. And sometimes, but I already got that, but other people haven't heard it and it's a building block. And then we need to, we need that to take the next step, right? All right, what's next? Marie, did that address what you were talking about here or no? Because you looked really stern for a moment there. I just want to make sure there's no like funny energy before we move into these next pieces.
No, you took it to a higher level. That's good.
You're good. Okay. Thank you. Anything else burning to be said without which we can't go forward? So far, we've got to announcements and Shavasana announcements and what's coming up, but a lot of training while we're doing that. So in case you're wondering where we are in the call. All right. I want, and some training around the gap. So I want to remind you a couple places where we've been for some of you in case you've missed a call. Or, hi, Karen, I got a note from Karen. She said, something came up and I can't be here, right? Yeah, but I've been listening to all the calls and it's great. And so I got this beautiful note from her last night. She said, but I might be able to come partway through the call. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, sure. So in case you either missed a call or it's been a while or, you know, life distracts you, just a reminder of some of the places we've been. This is not a retraining of this. Some of it won't make sense if you haven't been there, but just for those who have been there, a reminder of some of the key concepts that we've covered in the last four calls. Moving from close in to far away, always start close in. I'm not going to retrain about that by now. This should be a familiar principle. The four principles of persuasion. Why did my daughter get up out of her chair and come across the room? And now I'm not going to go into any of the details of this. And if you don't remember, go back to those other calls and because all these things fit together. Networking personalities to emulate and to avoid. And notice when we're doing it in more subtle levels than we think. So watch for it and play with it. You might go to one networking event and go, I'm going to watch for Miss Know-It-All, you know, or Miss Spew It, right? And watch for Miss Spew It right now. Are there any times that I'm doing it, or can I watch other people doing it? And just with compassion and fun, watch it happening. I could just go with that one personality. You can use these in more ways than we've mentioned, because it will be there at more subtle levels than we think. And then we can start to make a shift, right? So seven principles of networking magic, eight networking do's and don'ts. And Emily is hard at work preparing those handouts for you, and she'll post them, I hope, later this week. And if we don't have everything posted, because we didn't have those handouts before, by the time we get to the last call, don't worry, I'll leave the form up for you. There'll be a note in your inbox, I'm sure, when we have some pieces posted for you. So we'll make sure to get those resources to you. 10 keys to great speaking. Begin 10 keys to great speaking. For instance, I begin with the end in mind. We went in deeper to what that meant last time. It's not just what's going to be at the end of my talk. What is it that I want people to do? And the whole talk is constructed around that. Ho-hum, so what? What do I do with that? What is it that single domino? So 10 keys to great speaking. Last time around, we started bringing this from starting close in with networking and then live speaking. We started bringing it into those, you know, one-on-one you could call them sales conversations. For me, they're not. I don't ever have sales conversations in as the way I see it. I have strategy sessions. Many of you here have been to a strategy session with me. And some of you, that's how you came to do the work with me. Some of you, you've come and I gave you a suggestion. Some of you were in process with that strategy session. If you're coming, and there's sometimes I refer people to other places. So we talked about that. What's a strategy session about? I'm either going to, and you can tell people that when you're in that conversation, the only aim is to find your best next step in your area. And you'll either refer them to somebody, it'll be something in their own court, and we went into detail last time, or there might be something that you can do to help them. So it really is just a genuine conversation in service to people, and it extends what we are doing with networking. You're just there in service, like Thomas Tadlock. Remember that from networking? We're doing the very same thing from stage and Uncle Bob. I really want to keep my audience in mind and what's the purpose of the talk. So I'm there to serve from their point of view. Again, if that's not making sense, you don't remember that, go back, refer to the other calls. We're often learning stuff and I kind of sneak it in the back door. So you might not have, now I'm putting it in a more of a, you know, take notes kind of way, but that's often not the way that we learn it the best so that we can actually use it. But I just want to kind of review some of the places we've been. And then we bring it over to strategy sessions. How can I be of service to that person? And when I'm always practicing that in every area of my life, when students come with me to do a retreat, I suggest, you know, and Marie, I know you know this, although there's a bunch of things I say, so if you don't get the answer, don't worry. But what's the first thing that I say when people come to retreats? How are you going to get the most out of this? You've been to so many retreats. Do you remember?
The first word that comes to mind is service.
Be of service. So when we're being of service everywhere, it's natural to us to do that in a strategy session as well. I'm going to use all those listening skills that I learned over there with networking. What is it that people are looking for? How can I help them, even if it's they need a new computer and it's not my area? I'm going to do the very same thing then in those strategy sessions. So I'm training a way of being that I think is actually quite natural to all of you, because you are all such giving souls. it's natural to all of us, but then we learn these weird ways that make us do strange things. But it's getting back to what's our birthright. It's getting back to using all those things that are natural to us, but knowing how to do it in order to grow our companies, serve more people, and have networking be effective, have a talk where people stand up and do something, have a strategy session that leads to an offer when and where appropriate. And then next time, moving that on to online content. We'll start that maybe today. All right. So those are so strategy sessions. And a couple of key points. I'm looking at my notes because I want to make sure that I didn't miss anything here. Couple key points that we got to last time. If we don't have words that move people to action, we don't have a business. That's how important words are, right? If we don't have, and you know, that might be the single domino of practical applications. I don't always have it like, there's one way that I crafted it out. That's another way maybe to put it. I crafted out the exact words. I don't even remember, to be honest. But that would be one way of expressing the single domino in practical applications. If we don't have words that move people to action, we don't have a business. And then I add another piece. If we don't make offers, we don't have a business. Offers are the core of our business. If we're not offering somebody to something to someone, if we offer it for free, we have a nonprofit, maybe, right? If it's a business, it means we're making a profit. We're helping people and earning money by doing that. And it's just a way that abundance circulates on the planet. We're not making offers as a regular practice, not as a once-off thing. We don't have a business. So, and what you're offering, it's not this many calls, and you'll see professional speakers making this mistake over and over. Watch what people are doing. It's not so many calls, and here's my book, and here's these things. And why we end up doing that is because we've worked so hard to create those things. We want to tell people about them. They don't care. With love, they really don't care. You talk to them about it briefly. What they care about is the transformation. You didn't care that we were doing Shavasana at the beginning of a call, each call. Who cares? I mean, now you might care. You didn't care about that I've had many, many years of Iyengar training, of, you know, that inner work and, you know, a third level of certification. All this stuff, it doesn't matter to you. The certifications, the format, none of that, of calls and so on, it doesn't matter. So what you're offering is the transformation. Strategy sessions. So you're going to refer somebody. It's going to be in your own court or in their own court or something you can help them with. And you're just looking for a fit. The aim of the strategy, you're looking for a fit between what you do and what they're looking for. If there's a fit, you make an offer. If there's not a fit, you refer them to somebody else or something that they're already doing. What's the aim of the strategy session? To see if there's a fit. Can you help that person? So it's so obvious that we miss it, right? We don't have to push something on somebody. We don't have to have fancy words to try to make a sale. We're listening, just like we were over there in the networking. So I'm reviewing and then I'm kind of deepening underlining some of the things that we learned from last time. And then some words for a strategy session that are very helpful when you begin. What made you decide to invest your time to come talk to me about this today? Because they're already making decisions and investing. Those are really helpful words. I don't have a lot of like, here's a phrase, but it's a really helpful phrase to begin with. I don't always start there, but I often do because it reminds that person that they're already making decisions and they're already investing. Let me see. I want to add one more piece of training in and around the strategy session. So are y'all tracking with me? I'm going pretty quickly on this because there's some new pieces that I want to add here. You're all tracking with me still? Okay, good. Yeah, I see lots of nods. I want to add one piece about the Cheshire Cat, about strategy sessions. And we can go into this further next time if there are specific questions about it. And I'll give you a whole process for like how to have that strategy session conversation, which then translates to what we are doing online in very particular ways. Notice I just gave you another gap, right? The Cheshire Cat. There's a conversation with Alice in Wonderland and the Cheshire Cat. And Alice says, which road should I take? The Cheshire Cat says, well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? She says, well, I don't really know. The answer is, well, then any road will take you there. Any road will take you there. I tell the story not always in strategy sessions, but it comes up often. I didn't used to, but it's been a helpful story because it's like, well, we need to know then where we are and where we want to go. So the basics of that conversation are, well, where are you now? And where do you want to go? And then, you know, is there something in my court that's going to help that in that journey? That's all. It's very, very simple things that move a strategy session. All right. So those are some of the, that's just in review and adding a couple little pieces on, starting close in with the networking, then moving over there to speaking. Then we started talking about strategy sessions and offers and sales. And just reminding you of some of the resources that we've had and adding a piece about the Cheshire Cat. I want you to talk about the questions that are that you've asked. Sometimes I'll talk about them at the beginning. We might get back to them at the end. And again, if we haven't answered them, repost them until the question is answered. Sometimes they're going to be answered in the course material. So I want to talk to Marie briefly, because you asked a question about, and we'll circle back around to it toward the end if the question still isn't answered by the content. But already you should have some clues here. So Marie, your question was something like, well, when I'm talking to business folks, how do I get them interested in books, writing their book and writing? It seems like a strange question. Michelle, you do it with stories, but I don't know how to do that. How do I get them interested in that? So Marie, from what we've already talked about today, you already should have the beginnings and it's a really important piece, the cornerstone to the answer. What is that? Have you heard it? Because I structure the material around your questions. And if you haven't heard it yet, once I say it, you'll hear it. What have you heard so far that will help you with that? There'll be more pieces in just a minute.
Well, I've certainly been hearing that story is the essence. There was something you said a little bit earlier. Almost like if you don't have a story, you don't have a business. And it's interesting because I'm asking the question partly because I feel like I don't want to just end up being a clone. Like it's almost like I have to carve out my own path.
Love that. So how do I not become a clone? Which is coming up in the course material coming up right now. All right. So it's not how I put it, but it's exactly not becoming a clone. It's one way I could have titled this segment coming up. Fantastic. And I want to underline one more piece in answer to your question, Marie, in provisional answer to your question, more of the answer coming up in the course material, right, today. So how do I get people interested then? I want them to be interested in writing a book. I'm busy out there networking, for instance, and now what do I even say to them? Well, all those things that we talked about networking, do that first. And if you're doing that, you're listening to them, and I can add another piece. One of the things you're listening for is the gap. And when Marie says story is everything, I've given you one small piece about how stories work, and that's the gap. And I haven't even talked about how it works in a story yet, but there's a gap. I gave you an example. There's a gap between, where I am right now, I know that I want to hold those conversations with people. Wait, I don't know how to hold them. Oh, come next time and I'll tell you about that, right? So it spurs people onto action when there's a gap. And I'll give you some examples from story in a moment. But if you just pay attention to that one piece, where's the gap? What matters to them? What's their pain? What's their problem? What's bothering them? And it doesn't come in right away with, you know, hey, do you want to know the three best ways to write a book? That's usually what people do. And then you sound like a clone. And nobody cares. And I know you wouldn't do that, Marie, but that's what happens a lot out there because there's no listening. But maybe the person is saying, to give you one example, man, and this may not be your best answer, but here's one answer. I'm so tired and run ragged. Maybe that's what the person is saying. They're networking and I just like chasing after my kids and meet them where they are. And I just, you know, I've been trying to get my word out to everybody and I don't, you know, nobody seems to know who I am and they don't care and I have no authority and I can't distinguish myself from other people around me. Okay, so it feels like you don't have like authority or voice. Is that what you're telling me? Listen to what they're actually saying. and you're running around doing a lot of work and can't get there. Stop and listen and expand on that. What kinds of things have you tried to have people actually listen to you and create that authority? So I'm going to land on, if that's one of the pain points for Marie, I'm going to start landing. Well, I've tried this and tried that and tried that, tried that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'm just sitting there with them. And they might even say, like, I don't know, what have you tried? Well, I don't know. When I wrote my book, it was really cool. It's like simple conversations, right? Real simple conversations, not some elevator pitch. That's all about the gap and actually listening. And all the things that we've done so far, I told you that we're going to pull it together a lot, how all these pieces fit together today. So Marie, does that give you a provisional place to begin? It's only the beginning of the answer, but.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. And you can hear how the gap is in there and all those networking skills are in there, right? And then what I'm going to write as copy is going to come from that. So let me see. I want to go briefly to Karen's question from, it was a couple of weeks ago. It was not the one that you posted this time around, but the one that, actually I want to address the one that you posted this time around because I want to make sure that I'm not dropping questions. The question you posted this time was, and then we'll go back to the other one. Michelle, this might not be about practical applications. I want to tell you it's absolutely about practical applications. It's totally right in the heart of practical applications. It's all about words, right? The question Karen asked is, I'm talking and then I get derailed in my talks with questions they ask, or they start telling me how to train, and it's annoying, right? Or it's not helpful. Michelle, what would you do? This is another application. Again, we've only had 4 calls here. I'm doing my best to teach you everything I can in as short a time as possible here. But here's another application of, do you remember those 4 principles of persuasion? What genre am I in? What kind of speaking or what kind of word place am I in? Right? What's the form? What's the context? And I'm training right now, so there's a lot of one way. If I were doing this in networking, I would look like Miss Spewitt, right? And even still, I'm asking you, did you get that? What are your questions? It's still interactive. It's got to be, even though I've got some things that I want to train here, but I have more permission to do that because it's a training context, right? If I do that networking, I'm going to look like Miss Spewitt. Hey, let me tell you the 3 things to, that's horrible. Well, hi, my name is, let me tell you. But I might start that here. We're going to talk about this and this and that today. Different genre, different context for speaking. Okay? Different container. Or different container for words. Speaking is a very particular container, and it's different from networking. Those people are thinking that it's more like a networking situation, which has lots more back and forth. And so it's up to you to set the container. And here's what I would do. So it's a question in and around genre. What is that genre? What I would do is say, listen, I've got so much I want to share with you. I've done that here in training, actually. So much I want to share with you. Let me get on a roll. Let me teach you these things. And then afterwards, when you have questions about how to take it forward, and already I'm training that they're going to be taking it forward. For those of you who want to take it a step further, we'll take the questions at the end. Then they're clearly out of line when they're raising their hands at that moment. Because aren't there, and isn't that, don't we have permission for that? Like, here there's permission, I hope you know, to raise, you know, don't need permission. You can raise your hand anytime. Michelle, I didn't get that. Will you please, you know, clarify? But there are some times where I'm inviting that more than others so that I can teach you some things, right? Well, you can set that container when you're speaking. Let me get on a roll. And that's establishing your authority and credibility at the beginning too, because if they are, when you set that container, the people will abide by that container. And if they don't, then you've given yourself permission. Wow, I see that you've got a question. Love questions. Hang on, I'll get there at the end because I've worked with a lot of people and I might answer those questions coming up. If I don't, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll be meeting people at the back table. Right? It brings people to where you want them to gather and what you want them to do next, and it puts them in your context. And the same thing is like, wow, I've got these suggestions. That's great, but you know, I've got these things that I wanted to, you know, so it allows you to step into that authority place, leaning in. And sometimes we want to lean more in on the authority. Sometimes we want to lean more in on the vulnerability. But in that case, it's like establishing authority. And Karen, does that give you an answer to that question? And can you see how it's connected with the things we've been teaching or we've been learning?
That's almost exactly how I had to start to maneuver it, because I was the lecturer, I was this guest speaker, and one person just all of a sudden just took over, and she was like, well, if you were to do this and that and this, and I probably let it go on for 30 seconds, and I went, hey guys, we're gonna get to this at the very end. Remember when I said we were gonna do questions and answers? And that kind of got it back on course, but I was just curious if there was any other way, because if I hadn't shut it down, that's the easiest way to say it. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't shut it down, another person would have joined, and another person, because when forced people get together, your way is the only way that there mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you set up the context before it happens. And that's how it happens in strategy sessions too. You answer objections before they come up. And you set up the context, so you got to know the genre you're in. You set that up before it happens. So then when it, like, the context for a strategy session is we are here to find your best next step, whatever it is. So then there's a permission. If it goes off in this direction, which it might in networking, we're going to talk about kids or talk about whatever, right? But it's like, hey, we're here to do this. So it gives you permission to keep training the focus on that, because you set the context in the beginning. Every strategy session, I'm going to say, are we on the same page? If you've been in a strategy session with me, are we on the same page? This is what we're doing here. So you get to set the context. And when you've said it before it comes up, it's much easier to go, wow, so glad you said that. And just like we said, we're going to go here, and then you just go for it. And you'll have agreement in the audience because they agreed to that at the beginning. You want to get their agreement in that too. Is that all right if I just get on a roll here? And if they're like, you know, they probably won't be. But then you've dealt with it there. Unless you've got some kind of hostile audience. And even if you do, been there, done that, it's not a problem. Right? The boys in the back of the room when I used to teach university impressed me. They were great training for all kinds of speaking. All right. Karen, does that give you a place to go with that? Good. Okay. Then the other question that Karen had was about, from the other day, words to find your ideal client. What are the words that I need to find? And that's our matter for today. So again, a reminder for today, where we're at is sales and offers. We're continuing that. And then we'll get to marketing and online. We may begin that discussion. We'll carry it on next time. All right. And what the particulars are of this, and I'm looking at my notes so that you've got a structure for it, how to find your offer. Remember, the offer is a transformation. Who is your ideal client? What's the gap and why does it matter? We've talked about a little bit already. How to talk to your potential clients about it in strategy sessions, and then we start moving toward online. So again, I'll start in close in, moving to further away, close in like networking, one-on-one, far away, online when I don't even have a person there. What am I supposed to write? Always got to get the data from close in so I know what to say when I'm far away. So how to find what your offer, what the transformation is. I will do more about transmutation on the call next Thursday. I'm going to do a seed version of it here. You're going to have the whole tree, right, on next Thursday. But I want to give you at least a piece of this, because it's one of the ways to find out. I'm going to give you multiple ways to find out what your offer and what your transformation is. Transmutation has to do with finding out, not becoming a clone, as Marie put it, finding your, and that actually might appear in future copy, because Marie said it and she's my ideal client. She's one of my ideal clients, right? So what are the words they're actually saying? We'll get to that in a minute, right? But what the words that they say, that's important. So transmutation, how to find what your offer is. And your offer is the transformation. It's not six videos, and that's just a vehicle. You can just decide that, briefly tell them. So how do you find what matters to you? If you're not going to be a clone, it has to do with what matters very specifically and uniquely and quirkily to you. One way to find that is a process that I call transmutation. Some of you have done a deep dive with me on this in retreats. Some of you have only just heard the word from me before. And how you do this is notice what pushes your buttons? Let me give you an example. So notice, and sometimes it's, let me just teach you this version of it. Notice what pushes your buttons. For instance, for me, when somebody's talking away, just spew it, you know, nobody's, you know, and they're not listening at all to the people around them. They're just spewing. I don't like that because there's no listening. The last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. It really matters to me. So when people push with their words or they're not listening, it bugs me. It tells me. So when I notice the things that bother me in my everyday life, it tells me something about my core values, about something that really matters to me. And that will probably be somewhere in your company. Can you hear how deeply listening is threaded all the way through practical applications? It's part of the transformation. It's part of my core values. And it's not how I necessarily am going to talk to people about it, but what the transformation is going to have something to do with listening because it pushes my buttons. And it pushes them in a very quirky way than somebody else. So I'm going to teach it in a very different way that's quirky to me. No, beyond competition, all right? What pushes your buttons? And then at the other end of it, what moves you? And again, we'll do more about this next Thursday. I hope you can make it to the call. Notice I'm presenting a gap here again, all right? I can't do it all. I've got more time over there. I've got other things I want to teach you, all right? So I'm hoping you'll come to the call. So what moves you? What makes you cry, right? So what pushes your buttons and what moves you to tears like it's so beautiful? When you look there, this has to do with who you are as a human being on this planet, what's uniquely you. You'll find that transformation that you provide that's not out of a box that somebody told you. It comes deeply from inside you. So you won't build your seven-figure company and then regret it because it's the wrong one. People do that. I know people who've done that. I had long conversations with people who've done that. They told me about the process. And when I talked about how I do these things, like how it comes to me, they're like, when I built my company, I didn't do that, Michelle. Right? How do we build a company that actually makes us happy, that serves us, that we find our joy? So as we're finding the transformation that we offer, we're building it from that, from the inside out. Right? So let me give you an example of things that make me cry. And I'm going to do a spoiler here for the book Time Traveler's Wife, but it's been out for 15 years or something. Can I do a spoiler? Thank you. The movie version is a little different. And if you don't want me to do the spoilers, go, la, 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 Teresa, I'm not listening. Right? You go read it and then come back to this piece. Because I thought I saw your energy, but I'm not sure if I want the spoiler. All right. So in Time Traveler's Wife, they're married. He travels through time. I love this book, right? I like sci-fi. And, you know, so they meet first when she's 6 and he's really old. And then she's really old and he's younger because he travels through time. And can you imagine how you make a relationship with somebody that is a time traveler? So he's there and then all of a sudden he's gone because he went to a different time and so on. And here's the spoiler. I'll give you the general version. She hasn't seen him in a long, 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 long time. And in the book version, I've got chills running through my body as I'm telling you this. It's what moves me. It brings me to tears. At the very end of the book, she's like in her 80s. And he time traveled forward, but didn't tell her beforehand. So he's like 40 or something. And she gets to see him for a moment once again. Now, this moment moved me. I read that book before my man died, right? So it doesn't have to do with my man, losing my man, right? It moved me to tears when I first read that book. Well, connectedness, that's a core value for me. Can you hear it threaded through the material here? How are we going to find the words? Well, there's pieces about listening. There's pieces about connectedness, about listening. It's right in the core of the materials here. That scene makes me cry. So this week, I want you to go away and say, well, what makes you cry? What moves you to tears? What pushes your buttons? And then come to the call on Thursday. I'll take it further there, right? But that's going to tell you something that is uniquely yours, because there are other people who teach you how to find an offer. There are other people who teach you about words. They're not going to teach you in this way. And I'm going to attract a particular kind of client, a particular kind of person who will hear in this way, who this will land with. because we're going to be like resonant with each other. Does that make sense? That there's somebody else who will give you a bunch of fill in the blanks and tell you to memorize a speech. And I have friends who do that actually, and they do great work. This is a different approach. I'm not saying it's wrong. So transmutation, find your core values. That's the first way. Listen to yourself. Go and do that home play for this week. How to find what your offer and what your transformation is and not become a clone, to add Marie's words. Second way to do it, listen to your clients. What do they say it's about? Marie just told me it's about not being a clone. I really like those words. You might see them on a page coming up down the way because that's what she wants. So what do your clients say it's about? And notice all the way along, I'm saying like, hey, what's your aha? What did you hear? And I'm surveying you at the beginning. You can do it at different points in their journey. I survey you at the beginning. I'm asking for your questions. I want to know what you're hearing all the way along. When you listen to them, they will tell you. One of my clients at one of my, when I was teaching Quantum Leaps a couple of years ago, she said, Michelle, when we did this work, I learned that my words matter. I'd never heard that before. I'd never said it like that. Some of you were there, right? Oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching people that their words matter. I didn't know that. She gave me that. The next year she came back, did it again. She said, Michelle, this year I learned not only do my words matter, I matter. It's one of the things to teach people that there's something bigger in you that you can access. This is easier than you know. You have more inside you, more resources. It's a deep part of who I am and what I teach. Not, hey, you're so dumb and you can't get it. No, like some people teach like that. It's not my approach, right? You already have it in you. There's more in you than you know. So listen to what your clients say. So transmutation, what matters to you, listen to what your clients say, and then find an earlier, often our ideal client, it's not always, but often it's an earlier version of ourselves. Some of you have done this work with me before and you found that earlier version of yourself, right? So listen to that earlier version of you. That's often your ideal client. You could journal, talk to that earlier version of you. What was hurting them? What do they need? Embody that person again. You'll find a lot of words that are going to talk about that transformation, right? So those are places to look to find what it is you actually offer. Find what the transformation is. Let me see. I want to hear one thing that one person heard so that I know that you're hearing. This is gold when you actually dig in and go do this. I would grab a partner and do this week. Spend an hour with somebody you know in this class and actually do this work. Transmutation, listening to the clients, find an earlier version of you. And if you don't have any clients yet, it's probably an earlier version of you. Go with that, right? That's your transformation. So one thing that you heard, most important thing, so I know that you're tracking on this because I'm doing a lot of just outright training here. What did you hear that matters most to you in this piece? And I'm doing it, the thing that I said right now, right? I want to know what mattered to you. What'd you hear that you can implement? Yvonne, I think, did I see you, Yvonne? So Yvonne.
I want to go deeper into what pushes my buttons and what moves me, because I think it will help me when I talk to others.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
And
thank
also
you.
Not let those things get into my way.
Yes, all of a sudden they become gold. You're starting to hear something of the title, Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold. That's what's behind that call, but we'll take a deeper dive. Because I don't have to be afraid of those places I don't want to look anymore, the things that push my buttons. They actually become the place that I can look to find out what I'm supposed to be offering on this planet. Marie, anything to add here?
Oh, just I want to underline how my ideal client is an earlier version of me.
Yes. Yes. And so when we started working together, Marie, before you had that book, right? And you could hardly say that word book because we didn't, right? And then created that book and what that's meant and opening up to that. And what if you met that earlier version of you? And they're maybe in that... the earlier version of you was not in business, but maybe that's your client as well. Where are you looking for your clients, right?
Yeah, it's, it's interesting because I remember what it took for me to say yes to you in the first place. And I wasn't saying yes to a book. I was saying yes to writing.
Uh-huh, thank you.
So I remember what it was like to take that step. And so for me to be offering the Bali retreat, that's a big yes for me now, but it's the same yes as somebody stepping in and saying, I'm going to start writing.
Yes. So really good point. What are they actually saying yes to? And it's often, we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. It's often not the thing that we think. Or he didn't come to me. And at that time I was working with writers, helping them write books and so on. But this wasn't the thing that drew her. What matters to her? All that listening and the networking comes in here, right? So thank you. So how to find what your offer is, transmutation, finding your core values, listening to your clients, find an earlier version of you, which leads me to, well, who is your ideal client anyway? So we're being led to that with Marie's comments and questions here perfectly. Well, who is your ideal client then? And this is, again, going back to, I kept saying, Karen, we'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. We need the groundwork. I'll give you some clues, but there'll be a bigger answer later on once we've got the background to be speaking about this. Who's your ideal client? Number one, we'll interview your current clients, right? What's the transformation? Why are they walking this path with you? What do they want? Marie just said, I don't want to be a clone. Great. That gives me valuable information. Ask them, and I mentioned this already, ask them for ahas always. What are they receiving? Listen, at the end of each call, I ask you, what did you hear in that? I'm making notes. I want to know what you heard, both for, did you hear some pieces that I think are really important? Like, is there a gap in my teaching? I want to go back there and underline some things. Right? And also what I think is important might not be what's most important to you. And then the content can shift and grow. Just so it happens in teaching. It happens in sales. It happens online. It happens all over the place. You're listening to what people are actually saying. And you can ask them for your aha. Their ahas. You can do this in interview, in a survey. You've seen me do all these things. You can do it in classes. You can do it after their transformation at different points along their journey. Because you're going to say different things. What was it that you were looking for at the beginning? You would, I hope, have different answers now. Because you would say, well, I want to know, understand how it works close in so that I can write these. You wouldn't have that language before. So you can ask them at different points along the journey. And this is related to what's inside the party and decorating the door. I haven't taught that yet, but I'm going to teach that in a few minutes. And it's going to be related to that. You can catch them along different points of the journey and all of those different transformations. And you don't need to look for just one thing. Here's the thing that I offer. Blah. We can find that and it's helpful. But to be honest, that's my quarterly goal this quarter. I create goals every quarter. My last quarter, it was like, what am I to have the whole calendar for 2019 done? Did that. My quarter before that was to really create and understand how to create videos. Did that. This quarter, it's what is that small line, like Sandra Yancey says, I'm going to create 1 million women earning $1 million by whatever year it is. I don't have that for my company now. It hasn't stopped this company from growing massively, right? So I don't have that one transformation. I'm looking for it this quarter, this far along in my company. So yes, it can be helpful, but I would say look for lots of words that describe the things that you do, because it's then they enter in real conversation instead of just this elevator pitch. So then you ask for them for those words, like in the survey and then in class and then after the transformation and ahas all the way along. You can do this as an imaginative exercise. You can journal about who they are and what they're getting. So I may, let's say, Marie, you all know we've been working together for a long, long time. So I might say, I might imagine a conversation with Marie because I could do that pretty well. Might not get all the details right. We've been working together a long time. If I ask Marie, well, what does she think she wants? I could probably jot down a whole bunch of things. What does she think she's getting? I could jot down. So I could have that imaginative conversation. And if you don't have clients yet, we're all at different stages of a journey, right? Then you can do that. You can journal with that, you know, you can write journal notes about who that person is, a real person with two eyes and nose and a mouth. Take one at a time. I might start with Marie, then I might start with Teresa, because we're different stages of the journey and of getting to know each other, right? So what's Teresa asking for, which might be different from what Marie is asking for. So I can envision one person at a time and talk to them or journal about them and just get down everything I can think of. And if I don't have any clients at all, I can do that with myself, that earlier version of myself. What's she looking for? What's the gap? We'll talk about the gap in a minute. What does she really want, or what does he really want? And I want to give you some language in and around ideal client. Who's heard the words demographics and psychographics? If you know that word, raise your hand. Just want to know. Okay. If you have not heard those words, demographics and psychographics, raise your hand. Okay, so many of you have heard it, some of you haven't. So out there in the world of marketing, you'll hear the words demographics and psychographics. I like ideal client better. Demographic, but it's still good for you to know these words. Demographics, that's how old they are, where they live. Is it a man? Is it a woman who's 55, or between 40 and 60, who lives in such and such an area? Those are demographics, like statistical things, right? Psychographics, so much more important. What does she yearn for? What does he yearn for? What does she long for? What movies does she watch? Where does she hang out? Who are her friends? Would she never do? I bet a bunch of you... Now, this is a far guess. I don't know about this piece, but do you like chocolate? Are you engaged in spirit, right? You know, that's probably, I bet a lot of you smiled, right? Probably a greater percentage than the population out there. I'm just guessing with that one, right? What would be psychographics, right? It's not just demographics, it's statistical things, right? Or, you know, engaged in some kind of spiritual endeavor, meditation or the way that you work with your horses or whatever. That's a characteristic. Psychographics, how you think and what are your emotions are and what you imagine. That's much more important than those demographics. If it were really about demographics matter too. There are fewer 20-year-olds in this group than right? But those who've been around a while know there have been 20-year-olds in this community as well. It's not just demographics. If it were just demographics, Sergio would not be here. He's a man from Australia. What's he doing here then? Right? You know? Thank you for being here. I'm so glad. Right? What's that? Psychographics, what's inside their heads and emotions and spirit. And even better than that is ideal client. Who's that person? And then we think like a novelist. And this is something we do in Mexico, deeper dive in, right? But we think like a novelist. Who is that person? Can I envision them in three dimensions? Who are they? So I could, you know, walk up to them and, you know, understand who their, you know, what their favorite restaurant is, and I get to know them like I know my best friend. Know your ideal client, and you can do that with the exercises I'm giving you here, right? And so interview your clients. Look for lots of words. And then a couple other ways to find your ideal clients. Focus on the transformation. When you understand part one, what your transformation is, who is your ideal client? It's the person who wants those things. That is more powerful than I have words to express, and it sounds like I'm not saying anything. But when you really understand this, I've understood this in deeper and deeper and deeper levels over the last couple of years, and it's crucial. When you really understand the transformation you provide, you go and look for those people. Where are they hanging out? Go find them and talk to them. It's really powerful. Start with the transformation first, right? What is it that you offer in all those ways that we found it? And then who's your ideal client? The person who needs those things. And then you talk to them. I'll talk about how you talk to them in just a minute. Another way to find your ideal client. So number one was interview your clients in all those ways, real or imaginative. Number two, it's the person who needs those things that you're offering. Number three, this is something I learned from a guy named, and I just want to check in with you because I'm doing a lot of straight outright training. If this is useful to you and gives you something you can think you can actually use, because I'm just giving you a framework now. I'm not asking you to, we dive in with examples next time. Raise your hand because I want to know if I'm hitting the mark. Okay, there's a lot of hands went up immediately. Great. Okay. Another way to find your ideal client, I learned this from Dave Albano. I said, can I reteach this? He said, sure, just tell them it's from me. Yvonne, you know Dave Albano. I love his take on ideal client, and it's so simple and it's really powerful. He had us make lists when I was training with him. He said, make a list of all the clients you really, really love. Now make a list of all the clients who really, really, really love you. Now make a list of all the clients who pay you the most. And then it's like, if you imagine these as different circles, they love me. I love them. They pay me the most. And you know, like those Venn diagrams, and there's some that are in the middle. You love them. They love you. They pay you the most. That's your ideal client. It's ridiculously simple, but it had me making different choices. Because when I was really honest with myself, that person really loves my work, but there's something in me that, you know, they're fine. I like them a lot, but there's something else that I would love for them to be or have in them. I love that person, but as my ideal client, I would like them to have this characteristic as well. helps me find that pinpoint that ideal client. Here's this person. I love them. They love me. They haven't been paying me at all. Right? Tells me some characteristic, but it doesn't tell me where my ideal client is. So it's another way to look for your ideal client. And then here's step four. And I would say this is the most important part. I've been teaching this for a long time. And then I just heard it in a training from the founder of the Shift Networks, Stephen Dynan. I'm doing a strategy session with him on Thursday. I want to see how he does his strategy sessions. I'm paying him $1,500 to do it. Right? Whatever I learn, I'll take back for it to you. All right. And I'll bring it back here. So I've been teaching this for years, and I just heard him on a training yesterday saying this very same thing. Different words of the same training. What do they want? Your ideal client, what do they want at a deeper level? So your ideal client is the one who wants that transformation that you provide. But sometimes they don't even know themselves what they want. Because do you get that all as human beings, we don't always know what we want, that there are deeper and deeper levels of the things that we want? When you can tap into that, the thing that they don't even know that they want yet, it's a deeper level. Mary Kay, you will understand what I'm saying here deeply, right? Because is that true? We've had a conversation. We're in the middle of a conversation. Was there something that you didn't even know you wanted? Am I right about that? Yeah. Can you find something? And that comes from a very attuned listening. So we do all that work in networking. Can we listen to what people actually want and their deeper level of desire? And for that, we need the skill of a novelist. We need the skill of a story writer, because they really understand desire, I think, way better than the marketers. And like I say, that top marketer, he says, oh, they're all, you know, wannabe filmmakers, because they, if they're really, really good at it, they understand the pull of desire and they understand story structure really, really intimately, right? So what do they want at that deeper level? Then here's the thing. It's strategy sessions that will tell you. Go and do strategy sessions with people. Go and do networking, then go and do strategy sessions with people. Do hundreds of them. They will tell you what it is they want to need. I know I'm going late here today. I knew there was a lot of content to share with you today. And if you need to leave at any time, I'll never take offense. And I'm going to keep training to get to the end of this part of the material. We'll take it online next week, all right? When you do strategy sessions, record them, take notes, do hundreds of these. These are your research, because it's people telling you what they really want. In a strategy session, if we were in one, Marie might have said, I don't want to be a clone. She's giving me important, like, hey, you know, what made you decide to invest your time to come talk to me? How do you think I can help you? Well, I don't know. I know there's something about story that matters, but I just want to go out and talk to people. I don't know what to say, and I don't want to be a clone. So starting to understand the ideal client better, starting to understand the transformation better, and starting to understand the gap better. When you do these calls, you're always looking for the gap. Can we do just a little bit? Is it okay if I go a little bit late to finish off this part of the training? You guys good if I do that? You still stay with? And if you got to go, no problem, no offense taken. All right, so the gap. The gap, we've already done it. I just need to underline a few more things. It's the distance between where they are and where they want to go. Remember I said about the Cheshire Cat. Right? If you want to go, if you don't know where you want to go, any road will take you there. So you really want a deep understanding of where they are with respect to the work that you do. And it might be a broader ranging conversation sometimes for a little while, because you won't know what that is unless you're really listening to them. And then where is it that they want to go, actually, truly? Mary Kay knows that, I know, in a deep, deep level, right as of right here, right now. It might even not, they might not even know where that is. And then there's going to be a gap. Well, how do they get from there to there? It might be you, if it really is in line with your work, or it might be somebody else, and then you'll refer them. It might be something that they can do. But if they really see that gap, because you've helped them see where they are and where they want to go and how you have that conversation, I'll give you more details next time, then you don't ever have to sell anything to anybody. You can make a suggestion and they can decide to step in or not. And you make a suggestion from a profound place of deep desire to serve, which is the same way you're doing the networking, which is the same way that you're doing the speaking, which is the same way that I teach when people come to retreats with me. If you want to get a lot out of this, come from service. All right. So the gap is about the transformation, where they are, where they want to go. And it's about what's not working. You need to be able to hold space for people in the pain. What is it that they want that they're not getting right now? If they're talking to you too much about this is working, that's working, that's working, that's working, that's working, then you're in a strategy session. You say, great, keep going, go away and go do that. I'm glad for you. Stories have pain in them because our lives sometimes have pain in them. And as entrepreneurs, we're solving the pain for people. We're solving people's problems. And if people won't come clean about what that pain is, right? Because everybody's hurting somewhere. Maybe they're not hurting in your area. That was my 8-minute strategy session. They have pain in a different area, refer them somewhere else. So what's not working? If they're talking too much about, hey, there's this and there's that and there's that and there's great, it's wonderful. How do you think I can help you? Well, I don't know, everything's great, everything's wonderful, everything great, go do that. Let them go. Give them a suggestion from the bottom of your heart, help them the best you can, right? The gap. So it's the distance, number one, distance between where they are and where they want to go, where they want to go. Two, transformations at the heart of it. Three, what's not working. And number four, it has story elements in it. So here's where I want to talk about Luke in Star Wars. And Marie said, I wasn't looking for a book. And that desire beneath the desire, there's a deep yearning in people. Can we tap into that? The best of novelists and story writers understand that much deeper level. Marketers are trying to get there. It's the novelists and the story writers who understand it. Again, that marketer, he says they're all, you know, wannabe filmmakers, right? Luke in Star Wars, what's he longing for? You'd think that he's longing to save the universe if you've seen Star Wars, but he's not. His desires are more like he wants to, and I wrote some of them down here, so I'm actually going to look down on my page. He longs for the girl. He doesn't know his sister yet, right? That's really what he wants, isn't it? In that moment, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you've seen it. You're my only hope. Can you see what's pulling him? He wants the girl. He wants adventure. He wants to be someone. He wants to prove himself. He wants to be bigger than he sees himself to be. It's really not about saving the universe for him. It's an after effect. So if in that conversation, it's like, well, Luke, you're supposed to go save the universe. Wouldn't it fly? So I suggest that you go and watch the movies that you love with different eyes. Go watch a movie. Go watch Star Wars. What's the pull of desire? Where's the gap? Because that's the same thing in a conversation with a person in a strategy session. Same thing. Sheila asked a question. I'll go into a deeper dive. Marie, will you remind me going to Sheila's question again next week? Thank you. How do I move people to act when I'm speaking from stage? I need to understand why does my daughter get up off her chair? Why does Luke get up off his chair? And it's not the things that it seems to be. There's a desire underneath. The same thing with Harry Potter. He doesn't do it necessarily to kill Voldemort, the bad guy. What's he longing for? He's longing for the family that he lost. He's longing for belonging. He's longing to be somebody because he belongs in the closet with his aunt and uncle. He's longing for very different things. Can you tap in at that level? When you do, you can serve people like nobody's business, and people will come to you. The right people will come to you, and you can serve them at the highest level. When you tap into something deeper, and it's not, yes, we create 3-step programs. Yes, we do all those things, but the drive doesn't come from there. It comes from knowing at this deeper level. All right, I'm going to wrap it up because we're already over. But what, Marie, can you add inside the party versus decorating the door? Because we need to know how far along they are, right? Are we, am I inviting Marie to write a book? But she's not at that place. Am I inviting her to think about words or maybe journal a little bit? Those are different stages along the journey. I'll speak more about that next time because it's a crucial part of having the language to hear. And Marie, will you also ask me to reach out to Cindy? Because I did a deep dive with her. Some of you were there on that call. It was a small group call on where along the journey is that person in order to construct your offer. So that's inside the party versus decorating the door. How far along are they? I'll teach some more about that next time. Let me see. I think I touched on all the questions. If your question is not answered and or raise more questions, please ask again. Next week, it's our last call. It's our bonus call. So post your remaining questions. You can post 3 questions if you want. Please post URLs, and I'm going to show you, I'll give you a couple of examples of my own, and I'll walk you through them. I'm going to do that really quickly because you're going to be able to see an example. Can I do that really quickly? I'm going to take 1 minute to do that right now. If you need to go, that's okay. No hard feelings. If my computer will do this really quickly. Give me 1 sec. What is it? Gold. Okay. Can I pull up the? Yes, I can. Okay, good. I will walk through this next time, but let me just share my page here quickly. So everything that we've done moves onto a page. So this is the call that I'm teaching next Thursday. I hope you all head over there. It's michellegunderson.com/innergold. All right. But transmuting inner gold, 3 inner dirt, inner gold. I know people don't know what that means. 3 surprising sources for your next great achievement. I know people want that, right? So the transformation is embedded right in our title, and I'll talk to you about how to put that together. Ask some questions that have to do with the pain. And then, you know, here's the moving from pain to hope. This page does that as well. And then it calls people to action, save my spot. And then my bio isn't about me, it's about the other person. I just wanted to show you that really quickly because everything that we've been learning is on this page. There's a simplicity, not too many words. The person's pain is in there. And how do I know that? It's because I've talked to people, right? And these are some of the pain points that I've heard them say, and they go directly right onto the page. So we'll walk through this example next time. We'll also walk through, let me stop sharing, some of the examples that you come up with where you're running into a snag or you want to put something online or the challenges in sales conversations or even what your offer is. Whatever your questions are, please ask because it helps me tailor what it is that I'm teaching to whatever it is will move the needle the most for you. The practical applications could be a whole year long. And so I'm giving you the things that I think will move things most quickly for you. All right. That's it for today because we got to wrap it up. So again, where we've been today, how to find what your offer is, the transformation, who is your ideal client, what's the gap and why does it matter, how to talk to your potential clients about it in strategy sessions and online. We'll talk about that next time. That's the decorating door versus inside the party. We'll go a deep dive into that, tell you how to have that strategy session conversation, how to move it online. So a lot of pieces that we're going to do next time. Let's wrap up this call with 1 aha, 1 inspired action. Thank you for staying until now. For those who are here listening, however you're listening to my voice in the recording here live, we'll have you go in the order on my screen so we can go really quickly. 1 aha, what landed for you. 1 inspired action. It's something check-offable. So we know that what we're doing here, what's your inspired action as a result of what we're learning here so that you're actually moving this into the real world. So not interested in head knowledge. Been at the university before, a lot of head knowledge circulating. How are we taking this out into our lives? So Teresa, you're up first. And you're muted.
Yep, I'm okay. Unmuted. My aha, let's see. There's a lot. I need to journal.
Yes, good.
I need to write about that client. I also need to mastermind with some of these other ladies that are in my other class with me about the ideal client.
Perfect. So that's both your aha and your inspired action. Yep. Check-offable, practical, directly related to what we've been doing. And that journaling is a going inward. It's just how all these things are connected. When we learn to go inward in Shavasana, and I know each of you have your own kinds of practices, but it allows me to go inward when I'm journaling and really see who was that person that I was before, et cetera, right? So all of these are, it's all interrelated. It's all a piece of the puzzle. Beautiful. Thank you, Teresa. Grace, you're up next.
My aha for me is, we offer multiple transformations, and the transformations are iterative. They're steps along that journey. So the smaller transformations lead to the deepest transformation we offer. And as we listen to the client's journey, a potential client's journey, we can make an offer aligned with where they are on their own journey.
Beautiful. Yes. Yes. For instance, practical applications. We're talking about the words. I don't have a lot of time here to talk about story, but I've been working with it for thousands of people for over 25 years, but it's one piece of the journey. Mm-hmm. Yes. Everything you said. Yes. I know you've been listening here and taking it in and using it for you. Beautiful. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to craft an offer this week.
Beautiful. Because now we have the tools for you to be able to do that. Thank you. Yes. Yvonne, one aha, one inspired action.
My aha is that the more I know about my ideal client, the easier it is for me to help them.
Yes. I want to know them mm-hmm. better than I know my best friend, my uncle, my aunt, my parent, my lover. And again, those are different kinds of relationships, obviously, but like, can I really, really, really know them? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. What's your inspired action?
I actually just put a question in the forum for next week.
Fantastic. Already done.
Already Boom. Done. Yep, thank you.
Marla, you're up.
I think there were so many things, but I think, come on, am I muted?
Okay. No, we can hear you.
So it kept this thing on my screen that said I was muted. was that my ideal client is what I used to be.
Uh-huh. Thank you for hearing and underlining that point. There's gold there. When I know that, I can remember that person and write about her. And a lot of the direct words that you can put up online, for instance, might come exactly from interviewing that person. And not just interviewing her, being her, embodying her again, remembering who she was, knowing her. And your inspired action, Marla.
I think then my inspired action is to go back and journal about who that is.
Yes. The huge power of journaling, of finding our words at that deepest level, it's really important. Thank you. Sergio, you're up.
My aha is about the ideal client, finding what the gap is.
Yes.
And listening deeply to them, to what they are.
Yes. Yes, you heard me doing that in the strategy session, right? Well, who are you? Really, who are you? Tell me about that, but in very particular ways. Again, we'll talk about that next time. Gap. Just gave you another gap, right? What's your inspired action, Sergio?
Some of the Facebook groups I've got to start surveying the people and finding out where they're at, what their pains are, where they want to be.
Yes, great. Beautiful. And again, all those networking skills, although it's we start from the right come from place and then all this falls out. I said a lot of things will come together on today's call and I'm hearing you getting it. Yes, yes, thank you. Mary Kay.
Okay, I've gotten some words for getting the feedback that I usually get wordless. I wrote down a bunch and then you've given me some good demos, some good ones.
Fantastic. Actually finding the words. Good.
My action is I'm going to schedule a strategy call with one of my clients who's saying she wants to work with me and she wants me to do all this stuff for her. So
fantastic. Yes.
Instead of a email or a sales page, I'm going to schedule a strategy call.
Thank you. I'll start close in. That's what I want to do. I'm not going to just refer her to a page. That page emanates from you. Let her experience that close up and let her be close up, close in and talk and actually see. Yes, beautiful. Thank you. Karen, you're up.
So my inspired action has to come first, I see now. So for a live event coming up the end of this month, beginning of February, that several of the horse ladies are going to be at, I had already made an offer that goes in a goodie bag that everyone attending this event will get that is offering a 10-minute strategy call. So now I have to design that particular offer around adding the gap and all of these other pieces that we've touched on today.
Yes, and a 10-minute call, I have a different language for that. You can use whatever language you want. I call that a laser coaching session, right? And it's different than a strategy session. For me, takes more time. You can call it whatever you want, but it's important to distinguish between those two, because we cannot do a whole strategy session in 10 minutes, but we can do some laser coaching.
Got it.
Then the result of that would be to have them come to the strategy session.
And
you can also see who you want to take on to that next strategy session level. And if you want more information or more on that, I could teach like for a few hours on that. But if you want more on that, post another question about that, because it's a really great thing to do. And I've had clients come to me just through that 10-minute call. And how does that happen? Happy to tell you more. Beautiful. Thank you. And what was your aha?
The aha was hearing to truly write an authentic offer, you have to know what your own core values are.
Thank you for hearing that. And thank you for putting it in that way, because it's exactly true. We could make an offer, might even land, might even get us clients, might even get us a big company. And by the end of it, we'll be like people that I know going like, what did I just build? And I don't like it. I don't want that life, do you? Right?
Yes,
an authentic offer. Yes.
That cookie cutter approach. That's what I want to stay away from.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah,
easy
yeah.
to fall into that trap.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Love it. Cheryl, you're up.
My aha, even though I've heard it before, is the gap, the distance from where they are to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. There are deeper and deeper levels of understanding that. I have a PhD related to understanding that, and there are deeper levels for me. I understand it better than I did a year ago. So know that there's more there than we've discussed here, and it is crucial to running our businesses and having both profitable businesses and businesses that serve people in the deepest level and that helps us. It helps us find our ideal client. Yes. Thank you. Deeper levels of it. Good. And what's your inspired action?
I think I'm figuring out that I really need to dig deep with when I write my copy. Because I think part of me forgets, but is avoiding feeling the pain that I felt, because it was so long ago and I've moved so far past it. But in order for me to help my ideal client, I have to really get back to that pain that I felt. And I think I've been avoiding it on purpose. But
Cheryl, thank you. This is profound. And then this results in, a block in moving forward, right, in the company. And we did some work with are you willing to share that page that we dove into before and then take it further this time? Because I would love for you to post that question. And if you give me the permission, because mm-hmm. we can see exactly how that's happening, and then we can take it further this time if you choose to.
Okay. So
will you post that question for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can see how that's happening right on the copy. I would love for y'all to see that. And then how we make that change. Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for still being here for those ahas, those inspired actions. Thank you if you're listening to my voice in the recording. Remember, next week is our last call. Please post your questions. Got a lot of material yet to cover still. And I want to hear what it is that you want and need, because, we could go on for a whole year, and I will try to pick those pieces that will give you the most traction in your companies and in your lives. And then remember too, we've got the call, transmuting inner dirt to inner gold. Take a deeper dive into that on Thursday at 2 p.m. I cannot teach all of that in 5 minutes like I did here. There's a much deeper level of that, of how that actually works and how we form those companies that we truly love, and we're truly finding those ideal clients that we really, really want to work with. So can't wait to see you next week. Those in the Love Your Words community, I'll also see you this Thursday. Have a fantastic day, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Take this material as far as you can between now and next week. Then wherever you've taken it to, then we can take it to that next level, right? So have a fantastic week, and I'll see you all soon. Thanks so much for inspiring me, for being who you are. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.